God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Well, the shorter the sermon, the sooner we get to the feast in the parish hall. So God loves you. Be good. Amen. Unfortunately, my contract stipulates that I must preach a bit more than that, so here goes. Let me begin by saying there will be no politics in today's sermon. I am maxed out on all the shenanigans and need a break, as I'm sure many of you do too. So there will be no mention in today's sermon of the all-out lavish welcome by our president of Saudi, Prince Mohammed bin Salman, MBS, he of the kill the journalist and cut him up with a bone saw fame. After all, things happen. There will be no mention of those other two words from last week that perhaps made your skin crawl as much as they did mine. Quiet, piggy. But I will make this one politics adjacent point. I finally found something I have in common with President Trump. Our mutual crush on Zoran Mamdani, the New York mayor. So cute. Trump did not even mind being called a fascist by ZM. Such is love. Anyway, for today at least, no politics. I saw a photo on a friend's Facebook page of a street sign that read, "No parking anytime," like the signs you see everywhere. But the PAR of parking was covered over by a yellow sticker of a crown so that it read, "No king anytime." This visual refers, of course, to the recent protests against our president and his administration, the millions who marched on October 18th fearing for our democracy and its replacement with autocracy, or absolute rule by one person. These have indeed been worrisome days, and I think all of us could agree on that. Today, Christ the King Sunday arrives, as it seems to do every year, at just the right time, to remind us that we owe fealty to no earthly powers, but to God and Christ alone. In today's gospel reading, we see our King not sitting on a throne, but nailed to a cross. On either side of Jesus on that desolate hill hang two thieves. One demands that Jesus use his saving powers to get them out of there. Although knowing it won't happen, he mocks Jesus, just like the religious rulers did who handed him over, and like the subsequent taunts and blows the executioners landed. But the other thief rebukes the first one. Unlike almost every other person on the hill that day, and in the final moments of his life, this second man sees the injustice of what's been done to Jesus and proclaims his innocence. Then, rather than demanding to be saved by this King of the Jews, the second thief merely asks, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." I would suggest to you that this scene on that hill called the Skull is a tableau illustrating a central fact of our humanity and our reality. Those shouting religious leaders with their laws and judgments, the whipping executioners and the might of the state they represent, that scornful thief and his cynical hardness, everyone's blatant disregard for the good and innocent Jesus, that's what so much of our world looks like these days. And has always looked like, really. From ancient wars to last week's bombs over Gaza, we seem hardwired for hatred. And yet somehow, in the midst of all the frenzy and suffering on that hill and in our day, connection with the person hanging next to you is still possible. We quietly acknowledge our common humanity. We are in this together. We want to be remembered as our best self. Jesus, remember me, not our worst. And we continue to insist that goodness and innocence do matter. The person sitting next to you holds a spark of the divine Christ in her, in him. And if there is to be any chance of salvation in this world, it lies in connecting those divine sparks of Christ together and working towards the kingdom of God. Each and every day of your life, you will be invited by God to make a choice. Strive for the good and defend the innocent, or strive for yourself and embrace indifference. You can choose to hang on the cross of compassion, like the thief who feels for Jesus because this man has done nothing wrong. Or you can choose to hang on the cross of self-interest, like the other thief who demands, save yourself and us. And friends, let me be clear. This is not about politics. This is about morality. This is about how we are choosing to treat our fellow human beings. I just finished reading this book by Omar El-Akkad titled, One Day Everyone Will Have Always Been Against This. It just won the National Book Award for Nonfiction last Wednesday. But I cannot recommend it to you. It is too devastating, although I am reading it through a second time. I will, however, quote one line from it, which is the author's basic explanation of how we human beings can justify the atrocities we commit against one another. He writes, just for a moment, for the greater good, cease to believe that this particular group of people from whose experience we are already so safely distant are human. Just for a moment, for the greater good, cease to believe that this particular group of people from whose experience we are already so safely distanced are human. Monday afternoon, I was having lunch at the Cheesecake Factory in San Mateo. A rather healthy chicken katsu bowl, I might add, when my phone rang and I saw that it was Carrie LaRoy. Now, when Carrie calls, I pick up because it usually has to do with someone she is representing in court who is being held at an ICE detention facility and she needs Spanish translation. Well, this time it was great news. Her client, Scarlett Harkin Gadea, had just been released by court order. Carrie needed me to translate some information about getting Scarlett to a safe place, so there I was, shouting Spanish into a phone in the middle of the Cheesecake Factory, saying things like, can you access your bank account? Good. Take the next plane up to San Francisco and text us, and someone will come and meet you and bring you to safety. Very spy movie. I must admit to feeling pretty excited. ICE detained Scarlett in mid-August. She was not allowed to access her bank account, nor was she able to communicate with the outside world. Even Carrie, her attorney, had trouble getting in touch. In these past 3 months of detention, Scarlett lost the job that enabled her to send money back to her two children in her home country to care for them. She lost her apartment. All of her belongings were left on the sidewalk and are now gone. Despite her attempts to plead with the judge to let her out for just 2 days so she could put her stuff in storage. But she has been released, and the judge did so in such an unequivocal way that it will be hard for ICE, presumably, to detain her again without real due cause. Just for a moment, for the greater good, cease to believe that this particular group of people from whose experience we are already so safely distanced are human. On which cross will you hang? Compassion or self-interest? As another church year comes to an end, to which kingdom will you renew your allegiance? What values will you uphold? I believe that when salvation comes to this world, it will arrive through our relationships with God and with one another. That is, in fact, the sign of the cross. Salvation through relationship and through love. It is the promise contained in our faith. We are in this together, and together we shall either rise or fall. The Feast of Christ the King was only recently established in 1925 in an encyclical issued by Pope Pius XI. It has since been taken up by Anglicans, Lutherans, Methodists, and Presbyterians. The feast was their response in that day, 1925, to a rise in nationalism, fascism, and secularism, 3 years after Mussolini became dictator of Italy. The feast was meant as a reminder of the greater kingship that rules over all nations and peoples. And so we commemorate it today, on this last Sunday of liturgical time, in a world as violent as ever, with nationalism on the rise in our own country, often in the guise of Christianity. But we arm ourselves like the advanced troops of Christ's army should. In the face of might, we wear helmets of mercy. Against the slings of violence, we shoot arrows of compassion. And to counter the advances of selfishness, we march bearing shields of generosity. But we fight for the kingdom of God, and we must. May we one day be knighted for our actions as the King returns to reign once more, and together we join in the banquet feast. Amen.